I'm going to be speaking now about an important distinction made throughout the Buddha's teachings between two opposed qualities. These two qualities are called, on the negative side, akusala, and on the positive side, kusala. The exact meaning of these terms is not actually defined within the suttas themselves, but the commentaries and sub-commentaries shed light on the implications of these terms. First, as far as translation goes, there are two prominent translations. One translates akusala as unwholesome and kusala as wholesome, and the other translation renders akusala as unskillful and kusala as skillful. Either translation can be taken as correct. I myself in my works have translated the pair as unwholesome versus the wholesome. Other translators use unskillful versus skillful. I take the contrast of unwholesome versus wholesome to put more emphasis on the ethical or even the psychological dimension of these two terms, whereas unskillful versus skillful puts more emphasis on what we might call the pragmatic nature of these terms. The commentaries explain kusala, what I translate as wholesome. They mention four ways in which this term is used. One way is they use the Pali word cheko, which means something like clever or skilled in a particular task. And then the other meanings are arogya, which means healthy, anavajja, which means blameless, and the third dimension of meaning is sukha vipaka, having pleasant results. And these latter three terms highlight different, what I call different aspects of what is kusala. So the aspect of aroga, of being healthy, emphasizes the psychological aspect, that when we engage in ethical behavior and cultivate good states of mind, these have the effect of, we could say, of uplifting the mind, of strengthening the mind, of brightening the mind, and making the mind more healthy, psychologically healthy. The aspect of anavajja, of being blameless, emphasizes the moral aspect of what is kusala. So kusala is what is in accord with the moral dimensions of the Dhamma. Kusala is what is approved, generally approved within by morally astute people, by people who we can look to for guidance and advice. And we avoid blame by engaging in what is kusala. We avoid blame and criticism from respectable people. And then the aspect of being sukha vipaka, having pleasant results, emphasizes the karmic dimension that underlies Buddhist ethics. So kusala action, kusala states of mind are actions and states of mind that, operating through the working of the law of karma, will produce in the future, whether in this life or in future lives, pleasant, agreeable, and desirable results. In contrast, what is unwholesome can be considered acheko, unclever, roga, bound up with illness, with mental, being mentally unhealthy, being detrimental to the health of our mind, being psychologically disturbing and afflictive. It's also said to be savajja, blameable, blameworthy, subject to criticism from good people. And it's dukkha vipaka, from the karmic aspect. It produces painful, disagreeable results in the future, even leading to lower types of rebirth. So that is the basic delineation, the distinction between the two terms, kusala and akusala. The Buddhist texts, because they're very fond of establishing lists of items, so the Buddhist suttas specify quite precisely a list of unwholesome activities and a corresponding list of wholesome activities. And so the texts arrange the unwholesome into 10 primary types of unwholesome action. Three of these are said to be bodily, that is killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Four of these are verbal, telling lies, speaking in malicious ways that create discord and conflict between people, speaking harshly in ways that hurt the feelings of others, and indulging in idle chatter or gossip. And then there are three types of unwholesome action that are purely mental. These are covetousness or strong greed, ill will or strong hatred, and wrong view, particularly the view that undermines and rejects the basis of morality, the moral distinctions between good and bad, and the workings of the law of karma. So in contrast to this, there are 10 courses of wholesome activity, of kusala kammapada. Again, three are bodily, refraining from killing, refraining from stealing, refraining from sexual misconduct. Four are verbal, refraining from false speech, but speaking the truth, refraining from malicious speech, but speaking in ways that promote harmony, refraining from harsh speech, but speaking gently and politely, refraining from idle chatter, but speaking with restraint and in meaningful and beneficial ways. And then three courses of wholesome activity are purely mental. One is non-covetousness, or we could say detachment from the impulses of craving. Goodwill, wishing for the well-being and happiness of others. And right view, particularly the view that upholds the validity of moral distinctions and which affirms the working of the law of karma, the relationship between our actions and their results. The cultivation of the wholesome goes much further than simply observing ethical conduct, but it extends to the development of the mind, so that all of the different methods of mental cultivation elaborated within the Buddhist texts, the means of developing samatha, tranquility, and samadhi, concentration, and the means of developing insight and panya, wisdom, can also be comprised within the range of the wholesome. In regard to the akusala and the kusala, the Buddha assigns contrary tasks. He says that with regard to the unwholesome, to the akusala, the task is to abandon it. So we abandon the unwholesome, firstly in the sphere of ethics, by observing precepts and following principles of restraint. Then we go further by cultivating the mind to remove the impulses, the tendencies to unwholesome action and unwholesome mental qualities. And then at the deepest level, we uproot even the underlying roots to the unwholesome. So the task regarding the unwholesome is to abandon it. With regard to the wholesome, the Buddha says, our task is to cultivate it, bhaveti or bhavana. And so we begin cultivating the wholesome by undertaking precepts, by observing rules of ethical conduct. Then we go further by cultivating inwardly wholesome states of mind, qualities like loving kindness, compassion, mindfulness, clear comprehension, and so forth. And then at the highest level, we develop and cultivate panya, or wisdom, the insight into the nature of things. And when wisdom is fully developed, then it will function like a knife that cuts off the unwholesome. And so this is, as Buddhist practitioners, our two primary tasks are to abandon the akusala, the unwholesome, and to cultivate the kusala, the wholesome.